Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
In the past 12 hours or so, have heard or seen or watched some of the photographs and video and videos from the Olympics, from the boxing in particular yesterday, and the controversy over the gender of two female boxers. This row, it's Italy's Angela Carini quit 40 seconds into her bout with Iman Khalif. She left the ring in tears, really refused to shake Iman Khalif's, her opponent, refused to shake her hand. And been a lot of questions about this. And look, I'm sure, you know, like myself, you have questions. You've probably looked at the pictures and videos and you're probably wondering what the whole thing is about. I want to get a better understanding of this today, because there's a lot of fiction, let's be honest, online, right? And I want to try and separate some of that. Dermot Pepper is with me on the line. Dermot's a reporter with thejournal.ie. Dermot, you might explain the controversy that happened in the ring yesterday, first of all.
Yeah, hi, Andrea, and thanks for having me. So, yeah, as you said, a lot of kind of fiction about it. So it's quite a complicated thing. But what isn't complicated is that it doesn't have anything to do with the participation of transgender women in sport. So this all stems from Algerian Imane Khalif and Taiwan's Lin Yuting being disqualified from the World Boxing Championships last year. And that's run by the International Boxing Association. But this has somehow, you know, blew into a debate about the participation of transgender women in sport, which it really isn't. And indeed, there's no transgender athletes at the Olympic Games. And both these boxers have fought their entire careers in the women's category. For example, Khalif fought Kelly Harrington in the 2021 Tokyo Games. So what it all stems down to is the International Boxing Association disqualified both boxers in 2023 in Khalifa's case. She was disqualified hours before her fight, while Lin was stripped of her bronze retroactively. And in a statement this week, the International Boxing Association said this was because they didn't meet the strict eligibility criteria for participating in women's sports. So a lot of federations are kind of grappling with this issue, and the IBA's regulations state only people with XX sex chromosomes can compete in the women's categories. And the IBA president at the time said that a test had proved that both boxers had XY chromosomes. So women typically have XX chromosome pairs and men typically have XY chromosome pairs. And for a female to have XY chromosome pairs, this could result in, you know, having a sporting advantage. And the issue is made a bit more complicated by the fact that the International Boxing Association, it hasn't released specific details about the tests that have been undertaken. They say that the results of the tests are confidential, but they are confident that the tests prove that the two boxers had a competitive advantage over the other female competitors. But it's really made complicated by the fact that the IBA has nothing to do with the Olympics.
But you see, this is the thing. So just because, Dermot, look, you know an awful lot more about boxing and the competitive side of it than I do. But like, for somebody like me, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners looking at this yesterday, you've been told by a lot of people online, first of all, that this was a trans discussion. It's not. It's, as you said, this is two biological women fighting in the ring. Go on ahead, Jeremy.
Yeah, so two biological women, and the IBA say that they have this test to prove they've been XY chromosome pairs, which wouldn't be typical for a woman. So some listeners might remember Caster Semenya, I believe she's from South Africa, who also faced this, and she hasn't been able to compete since 2018 because of elevated levels of testosterone, and she was told she'd have to take medicine to lower the level of testosterone in her system if she wants to compete, and she said she's not willing to do that. And why they're allowed to compete in the Olympics is because typically sports in the Olympics are governed by the respective international federations. So soccer is governed by FIFA and basketball is governed by the International Basketball Federation. boxing used to be overseen in the Olympics by the International Boxing Association, but basically there's so many questions over the International Boxing Association in terms of governance, finance issues, ethical issues, because there's close ties with Russia, between Russia and the International Boxing Association. So the Olympics doesn't have anything to do with the IBA now, and they cut ties in 2019.
So there's sort of two governing bodies for boxing, really, isn't there?
When it comes to the Olympics, there's actually, the issue becomes a bit murky, I suppose you can say, because typically an international federation oversees the running of a sport, but when it comes to boxing, the IOC, the International Olympics Committee, oversees the governance of boxing because they basically said we can't trust the International Boxing Association. And for example, listeners might remember Michael Conlon in 2016. He lost a fight and he came out afterwards with an expletive-laden rant saying basically it was a fix. And in 2021, an independent report said that it was likely corrupt. And because of this, the Olympics has nothing to do with the International Boxing Association. It even said that if they don't find and you've, recognised International Boxing Federation in time for the 2028 Games in Los Angeles, boxing might not even be included in the programmes.
So what happened then yesterday was that Italy's Angela Carini is in the ring against Iman Khalif, and 40 seconds in, she halts, she stops the fight. She quits that bout herself.
So, 46 seconds in, she quits the fight, which obviously there had been a lot of interest in this. And there was, obviously gathered traction after this. And the other boxer in question, Lin Yuting, she's due to fight, I think, in the next hour and a half or so. So that will probably increase interest in it also. But the IOC say they're very confident in their decision. So they're overseeing boxing this year, which is, a bit unique. There had been talk of boxing not even being included because of the controversies. But they say that they have experts who say that all competitors in boxing have a medical certificate that has been signed by relevant medical authorities. They say they have their own experts that have been overseeing this, and they're confident in what their own experts say, that there's no unfair advantage gained.
Professor Donal O'Shea, Dermot, is with us on the line as well. Donal O'Shea is a specialist in endocrinology, of course, the study of the glands and hormones. This controversy, Donal, I suppose, that struck up yesterday because of the fact that Angela Carini bowed out of the fight and just, so quickly, 46 seconds into it. Will you just give us a sort of an understanding or explain in the first instance, like, this isn't a discussion around transgender. Iman Khalif has at no point ever been recognised as a man, never identified as a man, as transgender or as intersex. And yet this is, I suppose, the talking point. It's probably the biggest controversy so far at the Olympics.
Yeah, and it kind of blows up every so often, and people do confuse it with the whole transgender participation in sport, which has been dealt with by sporting bodies on a kind of case by case basis now internationally, with a view to being as inclusive as possible. But this is a completely different scenario. This is a biological female. They're genetically male, but their Y chromosome, effectively, testosterone and all hormones work by binding to a receptor and turning on certain pathways in cells. If you don't have receptors that work, it's called, the formal term is complete androgen insensitivity syndrome, and you are born with a female appearance. And then when you reach about the age of puberty, it's usually when it's noticed because you don't go through a normal puberty. And then individuals will start estrogen to put them through, breast development and to give them female kind of secondary sexual characteristics. So these competitors are both female. Jamie Lee Curtis would be the most famous public figure, kind of person who has this particular condition. And it's very sad and very public for the athletes to be kind of in this kind of public storm, really. And yes, the testosterone levels may be measured as high, but if there aren't any receptors for that to bind onto and act on, then you have none of the effects of the testosterone. And boxing is a weight categoried kind of in the Olympics as a weight category kind of sport. So you're up against somebody of the same size and same weight. So, you know, I just think I'm sorry that it's come up for the two athletes, and I'm sorry that it's confused with the trans issue, because the reality is we need people who are transitioning to be involved in sport, because most people are not elite sports people. Most will not be involved at an elite level, but it's really important that
I take your point, and I know that the discussion about trans people in games or at competitive level is probably a discussion too for a different day. But from some of the commentary I saw yesterday, Italy's Angela Carini bowed out of the bout because when she obviously took a hit at one stage or a punch in the 46 seconds that she was in the ring, she talked about the pain that she experienced. And I suppose where the difference, or maybe where people are questioning the difference in this, is that, like, if you know, you talk about somebody with a female with XX sex chromosomes and maybe a male with XY or a female with XY chromosomes. But in this case, is it not different because it's a combat sport? Like, we probably wouldn't have this discussion if we were talking about the 100 metre, you know, hurdles or the 100 metre sprint today. This is combat sport in the ring.
No, I don't agree with that. I mean, I think if you're looking at competitive advantage based on testosterone in somebody's system or a Y chromosome, then you're not getting that in this situation at all. You are so in any event, if you take testosterone and as a kind of a performance enhancer, it will benefit you, but you need to have the receptors that testosterone works on working, and they're not working in people with this condition. That's why they're born female, raised female, and compete in female sports.
And are female.
And the combat endurance advantage, that there isn't one. They've worked to get they've worked hard to get to the point they're at in their sport. And as you pointed out, Kelly Harrington beat her 4 years ago.
Kelly Harrington. You mentioned that, Dermot. Kelly Harrington actually beat Algeria's Amin Khalif, who we're talking about yesterday. Unanimous decision to win bronze back in 2001.
And I suppose that's what people will you know, point to, the fact that they've competed their entire careers with no controversy. They've competed in International Boxing Association sanctioned tournaments with no controversy. Both of them also competed in, you know, Tokyo, no controversy. And from the Olympics point of view, this was an arbitrary decision and an aggressive decision, they called it, taken by the International Boxing Association. And they say that they're very content that everyone in the women's category is competing within the rules and complying with the eligibility criteria.
Josephine Batiste, international female boxer based here in Ireland, is with me on the line today. Josephine, can I get your thoughts on what you saw yesterday?
Yes, I saw the fight yesterday. I saw that the Italian woman stopped and was devastated. But for me, it's actually a very clear decision. Like, females don't go into the men's sport and males don't go into the female sport. And that's only by saying if someone is biological or female, but they do have more testosterone or they do have XY chromosomes, it still is biological female. Does that make anything different?
Yeah.
So in my opinion, we should just wait on the result the IBA had and before completely bullying the Algerian and the Taiwan boxers, because you're also devastating them by saying things that maybe aren't true. So for me, it's a difficult discussion because you don't know what people want actually to say, because you don't know really what's going on inside our bodies. And if they would be transgender women, then it will be a whole lot different.
It's a different discussion. Yeah. And that's the point. We don't actually know this. Sure, we don't, Josephine. We don't. The result. No, we don't know. And did you mention, sorry, Dermot, is that going to be published? Or did I take you up wrong?
I hope so. They do. I would be surprised if they do, to be honest. But I don't think we can really say something until it does, because we don't know what is going on inside the bodies of these athletes.
Did you say, sorry, Dermot, was it due to be published? Or did I take you up wrong on that?
I don't think it's due to be published. So, for example, the International Boxing Association has released some minutes of their discussion, which the Olympics have pointed at, to say that this was an arbitrary decision, as proven by the minutes they have uploaded onto their website. And, for example, some of the discussion is it's unfair for, you know, these boxers if they may have elevated levels of testosterone. But the IBA said this week that the boxers did not undergo a testosterone examination, but were subject to a separate and recognised test. But what that test was is completely unknown. They say that they're confident it proved that these two boxers had a competitive advantage, but the specifics of the test are confidential. So that certainly adds to the, you know, murkiness of the IBA decision taken last year. And the Olympics say that they're confident with their medical examinations that have taken place prior to the competitions.
Listen, Dermot, thanks a million for joining us here on the programme today and shedding some light on that for us. Dermot Pepper there, who's a reporter with the journal.ie, professor in endocrinology, Donal O'Shea, and international female boxer Josephine Batiste as well.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.